What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
It's only Tuesday.
I know.
That's a disturbing factoid because it feels way later in the week than a Tuesday right now. Everything's good. Andrea, what's good with you?
I am very excited to be heading down to Los Angeles immediately after the show today. Land.
What are you going down there for, Andrea?
I'm going down for the Game Awards,
Greg. That's right, everybody. Game Awards Thursday. Bah, 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 bah.
And because I'm going to be there, I'm going to have a couple other meetings and see some of my friends because I used to live in Los Angeles.
Of course.
Desperately miss all of those people that are down there. So it's a great chance to catch up and you know, sneak a little business in on the side.
Of course, yeah. How many meetings and quotes are you having with Tara Bruno?
Listen.
Who's counting?
Let's not reduce my interactions with her to just meetings.
Okay.
Their experiences.
Experiences involving a lot of wine. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, awesome. Thank you. You have to keep us honest. Sometimes we screw things up. You need to go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Andrea is leading a dice round table.
Yay.
Andrea, tell me all about it.
It's really exciting. I'm very honored that DICE and the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences have invited me back to lead a roundtable. Last year, I had a really great discussion, and it's essentially where people from around the video games industry get together to have these roundtables of about 10 to 20 people. So intimate discussions about issues from all different facets of the business. So this year I'm leading a roundtable called The Power of Perception, Managing Expectations for Your Game's Reception.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't intend to make it rhyme, but it just kind of worked out that way. So essentially, like, the description reads, so you want to hype up your game and sell pre-orders like crazy? Well, you'll likely need some influencers, streamers, YouTubers, or games media to help spread the word. But what can and should you showcase that generates excitement without being misleading? What kind of access is not enough or too much? I will lead a discussion on managing gamers' expectations through pre-launch coverage and how to work with present influencers to put your best foot forward.
So this is just a what's good seminar. You're just going to say, what's good games is the answer to all these questions. Take a brochure.
No, it's not, though, because what's good games is not the answer for a lot of games out there. For example, we have a big gap in our knowledge when it comes to strategy games, for example.
Yeah.
So if you're all about strategy, maybe you don't approach somebody like What's Good Games.
And nobody over there knows Pokemon either.
Oh, how dare you, sir. Brittany Brombacher is going to fly down
here. She burst through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
Exactly.
Talking about Resident Evil and Magikarps. I don't even know what's
going on. Oh, yeah. By the way, we uploaded a video this morning because that embargo just lifted. We spent over 30 minutes listening to her talk about her four-hour gameplay experience with Resident Evil 2.
Can't wait for that game.
So if you want to check that out, whatsgoodgames.com.
It was positive, right? She's a thumbs up on it?
Oh,
of course.
You kidding me? She's
sure.
Drinking the Kool-Aid, speaking of the Kool-Aid Man, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I did kind of push her a little bit to talk about some things that she was a little uncomfortable with.
Sure.
And to kind of extrapolate what that meant.
Expound.
And, exactly. Mm. And so it's a really good conversation. And if you guys are really interested to hear about her playtime as a diehard Resident Evil fan and hearing her compare it to the original, what she likes and dislikes about it, you can watch that at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, or it will be in the podcast released on Friday.
Oh, neat.
Oh, excuse me, Thursday, because we're doing Game Awards prediction show.
It's just crazy time over here, ladies and gentlemen. There's too much happening this week. Speaking of the Game Awards, our Thursday evening, it is 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to watch along with Kinda Funny, you're welcome to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. You can watch Andy and Tim talk over the Game Awards. Of course, that's cool. You should do it. Andrea and I will be there. We'll be partying with Tara Bruno. We'll see what happens. Jared and I almost talked about this yesterday, but never did, because it's weird to put... When people announce they're not coming, I don't feel like it should be a full-blown Roper Report item, but I wanted to give it... I don't think we've talked about on Kinda Funny Games Daily who's confirmed they're not going to Game Awards. So far, I wanted to give you a rundown of CD Projekt Red, Rocksteady, Naughty Dog, and WB Montreal all say they're not going to be at the Game Awards. More on that WB Montreal
stuff
coming up soon. Exactly. Yeah.
No Batman.
We'll get to that.
Maybe from somebody else.
The WB Montreal thing we're going to get to in the Roper Report. Okay. They're up to shenanigans over there. They're teasing all sorts of stuff. I don't know what you can trust and what you can't trust.
So who was the other one?
Rocksteady. Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog.
So no Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we weren't.
No play. No. I don't think most. I mean, maybe for PlayStation. Maybe you get Days Gone, something there. You know what I mean? But like outside of that.
I mean, I would hope so. That game's supposed to be out, in April?
Sure, but PlayStation has to walk a very fine line now of, we don't have enough to show to make our own PSX, so how much can they show at this and not, you know, tip the scales like, wait, you've had all this other stuff. It's going to be
interesting. Do we get a Dreams release date?
It's possible. That is possible, I think.
Maybe?
Is the game still happening?
Yeah, apparently. Maybe we get the Dreams beta that they promised us 2 years ago.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I'm watching you, Media Molecule. Then, of course, Saturday is the Kind of Funny Game Showcase. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow at kindoffunnyvids on Twitter, where we'll be posting each and every trailer as it pops, or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, worth pointing out that after our own showcase, we're doing the Kind of Funny Games showcase after party, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're all going to probably end up drinking and playing Smash Brothers.
Yeah, alcohol.
I'll be here.
You bringing the wine?
Yes, of course.
Now, here's my thing.
We've got so much wine.
Here's my thing. All right.
Well, you guys don't have enough.
Okay. Just leave it. No, bring your microphone, though. Okay. It's a bit we're doing. So you have the number one contender cat. You can challenge Nick for the title at any time.
Right.
What I need to know is how many concurrents need to be watching the after party for you to do it and just clown them out. Just take them. I mean, we're going to play Smash, sure. But you can come in and challenge whatever game you want and just take the belt and be fine. Because I feel like we're going to have a lot of concurrents for the showcase. And so if enough of those stick around, right, you got it.
I will think of a number.
Okay, good. Okay.
And let you know.
Thank you. Today we're sponsored by 23andMe, Brooklinen, and Robin Hood. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, as if hearing the universe cry out over the Steam practices, Epic has announced a games store. This is directly from them. For the past 5 years, we've been building tools enabling Epic to bring our games directly to players. We built the Epic Games launcher on PC and Mac featuring Fortnite and Unreal Engine. We built a worldwide digital commerce ecosystem supporting dozens of payment methods, and we gained great economies of scale thanks to Fortnite's growth. As developers ourselves, we wanted two things: a store with fair economics and a direct relationship with players. And we've heard that many of you want this too. Soon we'll launch Epic Games Store and begin a long journey to advance the cause of all developers. The store will launch with a hand-curated set of games for PC and Mac, then it will open up more broadly to other games and to Android and other open platforms throughout 2019. The Epic Games Store will operate on the following principles. All developers earn 88%. Developers receive 88% of revenue. There are no tiers or thresholds. Epic takes 12%. And if you're using Unreal Engine, Epic will cover the 5% engine royalty for sales on the Epic Games Store out of Epic's 12%. Have a direct relationship with players. People who buy your games automatically subscribe to your news feed so you can reach them with game updates and news about upcoming releases. The news feed is front and center. You'll also be able to reach your players through email if they choose to share it. Connect with creators. YouTube content creators, Twitch streamers, bloggers, and others are at the leading edge of the game discovery. The 10,000 strong Epic Games Support a Creator program helps you reach creators so they can help you reach players. If you opt to participate, creators who refer players to buy your game will receive a share of the revenue that you set, parentheses, tracked by code or affiliate marketing link. To jumpstart the creator economy, Epic will cover the first 5% of creator revenue sharing for the first 24 months. Developers control their pages. As a developer, you control your game page and your news feed. There will be no store-placed ads or cross-marketing of competing games on your page, and no paid ads in search results. All engines are welcome. The Epic Games Store is open to games built with any engine, and the first releases span Unreal, Unity, and internal engines. Andrea,
yes,
you are a real person and real journalist. You reached out for comments. You
have
one here from Mike Futter. Tell me about it.
I did. So I heard this story and was like, wow, this is incredibly exciting news for a variety of reasons. And I wanted to get some context from some people who are more well versed with the business side of what this means.
We're commentators, right?
Like, right. We can speculate as to how cool this is, but I wanted to hear from somebody
who
knows.
And that's the thing. Of course, yesterday on Kinda Funny Games Daily, Jared and I covered the weekend news that Steam is now introducing this tiered structure where for these giant AAA games that sell gajillion copies, they're taking less and less revenue from those big publishers in an attempt, you assume, to keep those publishers on Steam rather than going to their own thing like EA Origin.
Right, exactly. So I reached out to Mike Futter, who is the author of the Game Dev Budgeting Handbook, which just came out. And he also previously wrote the Game Dev Business Handbook. So if you guys are interested in game dev, these are two fantastic resources for you guys to check out.
And Mike's a very good guy.
He is. He's been in the industry for a really long time.
Well,
he's a
Game
fantastic
Informer
writer.
Before then? Game Pro?
Yeah, so he was the news director at Game Informer, and then he started working with Mike Bithell.
So I asked,
hey, can you give me a little bit of context and provide a quote? And this is what he wrote. He says, Epic has spent more than a year disrupting the industry, first with Fortnite, then by retroactively adjusting the Unreal Engine marketplace revenue split. And now by launching a Steam competitor that significantly favors developers with an 88-12 revenue share. At a time when AAA publishers are walking away from Steam and discoverability is challenging across platforms, Epic has the opportunity to earn a huge amount of goodwill with smaller developers. Woo AAA publishers, many of whom it already has relationships with in other capacities, and draw games closer. Epic could very well reshape how developers think about their relationships with digital storefronts with this move. And then I followed up and said, do you think Steam will be impacted in a significant way because of this? And he said, I don't think it will have an immediate effect on Steam, but it is one more market condition along with discoverability and some unclear messaging around content that's allowed on the platform that will give customers reasons to drift away. I do think that this will spur some tough conversations internally at Valve that may lead to a more drastic change in revenue structure than we saw last week.
Very interesting, yeah, because that was the thing yesterday talking about this. Me and Jared come to the conclusion of, this sucks. You know, the fact it sucks in an interesting way. I understand all the Valve business decisions behind this. Yes, let's keep the biggest people bringing in the most amount of money happy, right? On a single game basis. But then you are really screwing over these indies, right? Who are living paycheck to paycheck, living on couches, you know, working three jobs to come home at night to work till 2 a.m. on their game. They also, it'd be awesome to be able to pay it forward to them. And I was using yesterday the example of what we're talking about here with like how Unreal Engine, they announced, hey, we make so much money with Fortnite, we're changing it. It's going to cost you less to use our assets and buy them, or sell them even, when you sell that our share is so much smaller. Mm-hmm. So to see them come out, this does become a super interesting business move behind closed doors. But what does that mean to consumers, and where do we start to go for games?
Well, it's going to take a little while for, I think, us to see any kind of trickle down effect, whether this affects, you know, game prices for those smaller games, or it maybe even larger games. Maybe it brings the cost of microtransactions or DLC down if they're being able to capture more of the profits on the back end. So I do think it's kind of puzzling why Steam is still holding on to, not punishing per se, smaller devs, but why not just make this new split across all of the published games on your platform instead of just some of them? Like, why put an artificial benchmark on it? And if it has to do with how much busy work or paperwork or logistics overhead, what have you, on the back end it's going to cost, then maybe you need to rethink how you're allowing games to be published on your platform in the first place. And that's something that's been brought up in conversation around Steam as a platform for quite some time now. Like, we all know as gamers and people who play games on Steam that the platform can be kind of a shit show sometimes. And there's good sides to that and there's bad sides. I mean, obviously the good part is that it means it's an open platform that virtually anybody, with a few small exceptions, can publish their game on it. That's good, right? Freedom of the marketplace. The downside is, man, there's a lot of shit on there.
Yeah, of course. Right? You want to talk about how bad PSN is, Xbox Live is, Steam's a million times worse if you want to go through every game that came out on Steam that day.
Yeah, so I will be curious to know how Epic is going to curate their system, if at all. I have to imagine that there's going to be some kind of curation process built into the certification.
He'll just sit there, look at every game. He'll just go through every one of them. But it becomes a super interesting future for digital distribution when Steam really has been the only viable game in town, or the most successful game in town. But now you see Discord getting into it and doing Discord first and getting aggressive, right, and starting their own store. And now Epic coming out and be like, well, we have a better, you know, share method in terms of like what's it is in it for the game maker. How that will trickle down, how that will affect things going forward, who knows? And how fast you'll see it, who knows? Right. But yeah, I think Futter nails it with like, going to be some interesting conversations within Valve, right? And the fact that they hit such a sour note with that in terms of the internal, were, you know, industry gazers or whatever. And now to have somebody come out immediately, someone as big as Epic come out immediately and be like, well, this is how we're going to do it.
I didn't think about the impact on a company like Discord with their platform.
Yeah.
Inherently, what you'll see on Discord and the partnerships that they have will be different than what you'll see on Epic. But it certainly isn't good for Discord that Epic came out and was like, hey, we're going to let you keep so much of your profits.
Sure.
Why would you want to publish anywhere else?
Yeah.
And you and I clearly are not the market for this audience, right? We're not PC gamers. So I don't know what the difference is, or if there is a pain point or a preference for people when it comes to where you buy your games digitally.
Yeah.
I know that there are lots of people who prefer to only buy on Steam because then you keep your library kind sure. of succinct in one place. But then other people don't care. They're like, I buy a game over here and over here.
Well,
and
Jared
over here.
Yesterday was talking about the fact that he tries to buy everything he can on GOG so that there's no DRM or whatever, because that's right. important to him. And it's like, oh, right. Yeah, there are different rules and or not rules, but different like reasons people go to different places.
I would be curious to know the amount of percentages of Steam exclusive publishing on PC and how many games published to multiple storefronts on the PC platform.
Sure.
I can't imagine it's a lot, right?
I think it's already PC, maybe.
This is a good kind of funny.com/you're wrong if you have some insight, or if you know of an article that has insight.
They don't have that kind of insight out there. I challenge them to have that kind of insight. You don't have that kind of insight. Get out of here.
Damn.
Exactly, right? I'm sorry. It had to be said.
Friends, even if Greg
you look
doesn't.
At you're wrong. They're you're wronging things so far that haven't even happened in the show.
Whoa.
And then one person's saying, I'm not dressed in a shirt and tie. I know. It's showcase week. I'm tired. Too tired to put
That's
on a tie.
That's not what you're wrong is for.
I will tell him, Kevin.
Woo!
Number two on the Roper Report. Pokemon Go is detailing trainer battles. We knew these were coming. We still know they're coming. It's coming soon. But here's the actual two graphs on what it's all about. In trainer battles, trainers will create a custom battle party made up of three Pokemon to compete in real-time battles against another trainer or Pokemon Go's team leaders. Trainers will be able to unlock a new charge attack for all Pokemon, adding an exciting new strategic element to the game. In addition, a new Protect Shield mechanic has been introduced to give players an opportunity to defend powerful attacks in a trainer battle if timed right. Trainers that are not together in the real world can invite each other to participate in friendly trainer battles through a new battle code invitation system. Those that have established real world connections with other trainers will be able to engage in remote trainer battles if their friendships have reached the ultra friends level or higher. To encourage fair and fun competition between trainers, tiered battle leagues will put a maximum cap on participating Pokemon's strength to keep the playing field even. After a trainer battle concludes, both trainers will receive a prize, including a chance of getting rare evolution items that work on certain species of Pokemon. There you go, Andrew Goldfarb. His Twitter feed, alive. You have something to say about this? You want more information about it? Go there. He's talking about it. Will weather effects affect the Pokemon and all of this stuff? Just don't feed them after midnight. That's what I know about Pokemon. You know what I mean? Get in there. That's what's happening. It's coming soon. I thought it was weird to detail it and not give a release date, but who knows? Maybe they're saving for the Game Awards. Bam. Here you go. It's out right now.
Leave the Game Awards and go get yourself a trainer battle right now.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see. Number three. WB Montreal might be teasing a Batman Court of Owls game and everybody's freaking out, including me. This is from a made-up name named Joe Scrubbles at IGN. Warner Brothers Montreal assistant producer Valerie Vinza has tweeted a picture of a t-shirt featuring a logo that's extremely similar to that of the Court of Owls and pointedly redacted the name of the game she's working on. It's led some to believe that a Batman game centered around the shadowy group is on the way. The idea of a Batman game coming out of WB Montreal is lent credibility by the fact that we know the studio has been working on two games set in the DC universe. It wouldn't be new ground for WB Montreal, which previously made Batman Arkham Origins between Batman's Arkham City and Arkham Knight. And Greg Miller interjecting here, remember, Batman Arkham Origins, a great game. Underrated? Because a lot of people wanted to poo-poo it wasn't Rocksteady. It was a great Batman game. It had the best boss fight of the Batman 4 games. Deathstroke. It was awesome.
Oh.
And I'm not including the don't try to you're wrong me. I'm not including the Vita game, the DS game. Get out of here. Get out of here with that.
What about the VR game? Are you including that?
You know what? I didn't, but I would in terms of like the Arkham Legacy. But you know what I'm talking about when I say the four games. Yeah, okay. Just don't expect to hear any more about the potential game at the Game Awards. Creative director Patrick Redding has said that WB Montreal's team won't be at the show, but will be showing off its work to Warner Brothers partners. Here's two tweets from him. If I wanted to be shameless and misleading, I'd casually drop that a few of us from Team Redacted will be in LA this week at the same time as the Game Awards. But truthfully, we're not doing the glamorous part of the job just yet. We're heading down to meet with our WB partners and showcase the team's hard work and share excitement. I know how anxious the fans are to hear something. Please be patient. I am anxious, Patrick, for any of the nice DC games that keep getting rumored. Whether they're from WB Montreal, whether they're from Rocksteady, whether they're Superman, whether they're anything. Anything, Andrea. Anything.
Wait, do you really mean that?
Yeah, why? You got a DC game coming for me?
What if it's like that Harry Potter mobile game that just came out?
You're talking to somebody you know that is a level 30 in Ghostbusters World.
Different.
Right?
Yeah. Different.
I'm just... What if it's
not excellent? What if it's just okay?
Level and it's 30 mobile. In Ghostbusters World. it's not going to be mobile. Don't kid yourself here, Andrea. Huh? Mobile gaming is like, as dead as PC gaming.
What if it's like Lego Online, which WB Montreal
Lego Worlds.
Worked on.
Did they really?
They did an expansion for it.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, Lego Worlds was fine. It wasn't, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to
listen,
get you
I've bought
prepared.
Scribble Knots DC whatever on two different platforms, all right?
I know.
I'll have you know that I will buy whatever DC stuff they put
up. Of course
I have
will.
The Platinum in Green Lantern Rise of the Manhunters, all right? Terrible, terrible video game. Anthony Gallegos and I ordered a pizza and we played it all night and got the Platinum.
No,
whatever.
Listen, I fully think that whatever they do next will be good. They have a track record of making good games, so... I feel like if they're going to announce a Batman thing, there'd be a little bit more fanfare.
I think there will be. I think it's, mm-hmm. yeah, I think they can't be happy about the Court of the Owls logo if that's what it is. But again, who cares? It's just, WB's just got to be happy people keep talking about this stuff. And the fact that Rocksteady's coming out and saying their game isn't a Superman game because they're just sick of people crying.
Mm-hmm.
Me mainly. Colin Sefton Hill crying. You know what I mean? But then one day we'll find out what all these things are, won't we, Kevin?
Yeah. You got to stop calling people crying.
Kevin? Are we going to find out at the Kind of Funny Game Showcase? No, we will not. Set your fucking expectations correctly.
Know.
This is a 60 game thing. A lot, tons and tons of indies. Great games. But don't be excited. Don't be expecting Rocksteady to come
out.
I am 1,000% positive.
Okay, well, chill out, dude.
Don't push me, Kevin.
I'll push you however I want.
It's true, you will. Number four is Crash Team Racing incoming. This is from Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer. Colt Kart Racer. CTR, Crash Team Racing, looks like it's making a comeback. Following the enormous success of the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy remaster, it looks like publisher Activision will revisit kart racing spinoff CTR next. Earlier this week, dubious-sounding rumors began floating around Facebook of an announcement at this year's Game Awards, due to be held this week at 1:30 a.m. UK time, Friday, December 7th. Remember the showcase, Kind of Funny Game Showcase, much better for UK time. Please watch UK people. But then today, PlayStation Access presenter Holly Bennett teased the following photo on Twitter of a pair of Crash-colored furry dice, the kind you might hang in a car's rearview mirror, quote, sliding into the Game Awards on 6/12. It's 12/6, but you know, they're over there. The dates are backwards. The water flows different. Europe's weird. And a company message reads...
It does.
Eurogamer understands this tease to be the real deal, and Activision will make its CTR remake official later this week. It's no Mario Kart, but it'll keep us busy until Nintendo hits the track next. Which I believe, I never played CTR, but I know many people believe CTR to be better than Mario Kart. Shots fired by Tom Phillips.
Do we call Tim Geddes?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You should call Cheeks Jr., man. That guy's the expert.
If I wanted to call Cheeks Jr., you know what I would do? Punch myself in the face.
Oh!
All right?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, get it. He sucks.
Dang. Cheeks, I'm sorry.
No, we love Cheeks.
Greg is a little overworked right now. He's stressed out, and sometimes when we're stressed and tired, we say things we don't mean.
No, he says this stuff regularly.
Tim Geddes, you're on the Kind of Funny Games Daily with me and Andrew. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you tired?
No, I'm just... Somehow getting sicker. I don't know what.
Oh no! So we'll stay away. How's the showcase coming? You gonna get that done before you die?
It's going well. I am not gonna be able to do the Game of Gray show today.
Okay.
You know. Whoa.
Kevin's booing you from the other corner.
Yeah.
Hi, Tim.
Andrew says hi.
high end.
How do you feel about this CTR? Did you see this, Crash Team Racing?
Here's my thing. I was literally just crafting a tweet as you called me about this. It's too good to be true. I just can't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it seems real. You see those fuzzy dice. You're like, okay, we know what this is, ladies and gentlemen. But it's like, until I see it with my eyes, I just, what did I do to deserve this? You know what I mean?
Totally.
When I got the trilogy, I was like, this is fucking insane. This a remake of Crash Team Racing? No.
A bridge too far.
I don't know, man. Yeah? Santa's always watching, though. You know what I mean?
I do.
Santa's always watching.
I thought he said Samus. Santa. I was like, I guess, yeah, Samus is always watching.
No, not Santa. Santa.
You got it.
I feel like he's been watching me, and he's like, you know what, Sam? You weren't a naughty boy this year.
You've been a good boy.
Yeah, you weren't naughty. You were nice, yeah.
Yeah, I was nice. I can't wait for the Game Awards.
Yeah, everybody can watch it live, see if Tim freaks out. Like I said, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We'll be doing a watch-along over here.
Let's go.
All right.
We got to believe. Faith and attitude.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Feel better, and then also figure out how we're going to film those two things we need to film if you're sick and not here.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if that gave you enough time.
Yep.
All right, love you. Kisses. Bye. Don't bring up Cheeks Jr. tweets. All right, Kevin?
He's crying, the coward.
I don't believe it. I don't believe he's crying over there, right? He's saying he's crying. There's no photos of him. All right? Show me a photo of you crying, Cheeks Jr.
You know he doesn't photograph well.
Nobody photographs well. We're all hideous people.
Disagree.
Okay, Andrea looks great, but we're all hideous people. Number five, Bethesda is replacing those Fallout 76 nylon bags that were a thorn in their side.
This is good.
Bethesda tweets out, we are finalizing manufacturing plans for replacement canvas bags for the Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition. If you purchase the Collector's Edition, please visit this website. You can get it off their Twitter and submit a ticket by January 31st, 2019. We'll arrange to send you a replacement as soon as the bags are ready. Huh?
They advertised that they were going to provide a nice duffel canvas bag to hold your power armor helmet in with the collector's edition. And then when they shipped, they actually shipped with a very thin, flimsy nylon bag instead of the canvas bag, which in hindsight, not like the worst thing that the bag was not super luxe because the helmet is really the draw, but if you tell people you're giving them a canvas false bag and then you give them a nylon bag, that is no bueno.
No bueno indeed. Yeah,
it's called false advertising, and the government does not like it when you do that. So they had to do this.
They had to get moving on that, and just to try to solve this Fallout 76 conundrum they continue to put themselves in. From your wrong, I'm seeing Steven here say that there is currently right now breaking rumors of a Metroid Prime Trilogy Switch leak that's making its way right now. Aaron follows up to say it's from a Swedish retail site. Of course, this has been a rumored thing forever. It's been what we've been predicting for the Game Awards as well. Everybody stand tall. I don't know. Very tired. Jumped off the trapeze there. Didn't have anything to grab onto.
It's okay.
Thank you, Kev.
I'm looking to if there's a reputable site that's
No. That's all you had to do. We just put it out there. The news is out there. We'll follow it up tomorrow.
There's key art.
Okay, well, anybody can make key art. Kevin, make me some key art. He did it right there. Andrea, I'm excited at the possibility of Metroid Prime's trilogy coming to that there Nintendo Switch. But even if it does, it's still so far away. If I wanted something more confirmed, like, say, real games that are out in mom-and-grop shops today, where would I go?
Why, Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Destiny 2's Black Armor for annual pass holders for the Forsaken thing is out. Expanding on Destiny 2 Forsaken, the most transformative moment in Destiny history, annual pass and Black Armor. Armory kickoff, a new approach to content delivery, creating a world that is constantly changing and evolving as updates continue to unfold. Week 1 grants Guardians access to the Vulgar Forge, a brand new cooperative activity that will enable players to create and claim new weapons. Week 1 of Black Armory also features a new raid experience in a new setting. Kevin, I asked you to create key art and you created this. Done.
It's definitely key art.
Told you that was easy. Very simple.
Good job, Kevin.
Are you jumping into Destiny 2 tonight to get into this?
No, because I'm going to be in LA. I'm not bringing
you're not bringing your system down there?
No, I mean, I'm there for just a couple nights.
Fake fan.
Fake fan.
The internet was right.
Fake fan.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you, sir? Are you excited to get back to it?
Yes. So I was playing this weekend. So I jumped back in after taking a couple of weeks away to play some other stuff. And it was a little lonely because nobody was on. Because I think
everybody's playing Red Dead.
Yeah. Well, not just Red Dead. But like, no, I didn't even see Fran on. But I, in fairness, I was playing like Saturday night. You know, the time when everyone is out doing things like adults do.
Yeah.
But I was just getting, you know, my groove back, so to speak, and getting warmed up. But I'm ready. I'm ready to jump in. I have a lot of work to do because my light level is not high enough. I have a lot of grinding.
What level are you at right now?
540.
Yeah, 600 is what I saw Destin talking about.
And you can now, infuse up to 650.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
So yeah, I have a long way to go. And the problem is like there's only so many ways to earn powerful gear on a week to week basis. And so they really kind of handcuff you in your progression. You have to keep coming back and logging in week after week, which is obviously great for players who want to only play Destiny, but that's not me right now.
Yeah.
But come like January, I'll have lots of time to play. Sad. Fair.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey gets its DLC. Episode 1 of Legacy of the First Blade Hunted drops today. I'm going to be all over it tonight.
See, that's what I want to be playing too. It's not enough hours in the day.
Arcus Path VR comes to PSVR and PC. Altair Ronorona, the Alchemist of Arland DX, comes to PlayStation 4 alongside Atelier Totodori, the Adventure of Arland DX, comes to PlayStation 4. Oh, Battle gosh. Princess Madeline comes to PS4. Beholder 2 comes to PC. Betty Bat's Treasure Hunt comes to PlayStation 4.
Amazing.
And you bet your ass, Kevin, you're getting me a trailer right now for Betty Bat's Treasure Hunt PlayStation 4, because that sounds like I'm sniffing like a pig hunting a truffle. That sounds like a good platinum to me.
You don't think it's like a lady bat who's looking for treasure in a cave?
No, that's exactly what I think it is. Oh. I want to know, is it look super simple and it's just a platinum cash-in?
He is the pig sniffing the truffle.
Yeah, it is. Command & Conquer Rivals comes to iOS and Android. Emerald Shores comes to PlayStation Vita. It lives. Escape Game Aloha comes to PlayStation 4. Gear Club Unlimited 2 comes to Switch. Gnome's Garden New Home comes to PlayStation 4. Gods Remastered comes to Xbox One. Gwent The Witcher card game comes to Xbox One and PlayStation 4, actually. Just Cause 4 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And Henry from Sydney interrupts the list by writing into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and saying, Just Cause 4 is out today? Hey, guys, is it just me or did Just Cause 4's release come out of nowhere and at a time when it will be totally squashed by Red Dead Online and soon Smash? All I've heard about the game were Kevin's brief impressions. Otherwise, no hype at all. Have any of you got a chance to play more? And how do you think this game will perform? Thanks, and can't wait for the showcase. Henry from Sydney.
I don't know when I'm going to be able to get into this, but Square very graciously provided me with a code to play. I hosted a panel for them earlier this year with some of the good guys from Funhouse, and they had a really fun gameplay video.
Yeah.
The game looks wild. I mean, it's Just Cause, right?
Yeah.
So you're blowing stuff up. You're, you know, going into these kind of epic firefights, and it's cool. Rico's back. There's a giant persistent tornado that's always in the world,
that's
which is
weird.
Really cool.
I like that, but that's weird.
I like it a lot.
Yeah,
tornado's usually
in. You can like fly into. Well, it's because like in the world they're like fucking around with the weather and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like
there's a bunch of weather systems that they've overhauled. I mean, basically this
podcast, Just Cause 4.
This is the game you play if you're looking to blow off steam and have a good time.
That's how Kevin plays it. Yeah, when did you get your code?
I don't remember.
Okay. My code rolled in like, I don't know, Saturday or Sunday, and it was like, hey, embargo's Monday morning. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
That's a weird way to roll this one out.
I think that they Betty Bat's
Treasure
Hunt.
Betty's bat looks good, Kevin. Show the kids. Hit that play button here. Here we go. If you're an audio listener, this looks like
tired of living in caves. The bats of the world collected enough gems to buy a castle big enough for all bats to live together. Since Betty Bat was the fastest, they asked her to travel. Oh, he went forward.
Is it just a visual novel about Betty the Bat getting
out?
The other birds can't steal gems, but they'll do their best to slow Betty down. Betty is a bat.
Oh my goodness, this definitely
side-scrolling.
Show me the platinum on this one, ladies and gentlemen.
On screen, there are other birds. We got a parrot.
We got some birds. Betty's stealing the bugs and gems from the other bats.
Looks like a robin, maybe.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin, I'm going to need you to find me the Betty Bat trophy list, all right?
This is amazing.
Exophase.com would be good. Exophase. PlayStationTrophies.org would also be good. You can also just put in Betty Bat's trophies. You might come up with it. Yeah, I don't know what's up with Just Cause. It feels like it didn't get enough hype leading up to it, and then it was a weird drop to... And maybe for Square, I'm just in the influencer bucket, so they didn't give me the long review. But again, the reviews I've seen going up seem like it's more progress reports rather than like reviews in progress. I don't know
if people are... Well, it's a massive game, right? So the open world is really... I can't remember the exact verbatim that they use for how big the open world is compared to the previous one. That's a good kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But... I would imagine that people haven't gotten enough time to fully explore everything and try all the systems out to do
a just an interesting one. Yeah, there's a lot of competition right now.
Kind of flew a little under the radar.
I do feel like that's going to hurt it in the long run, but we'll see. Just Cause has always been a game that I feel speaks to some people and just hangs out. It has a
cult following, though.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, it's got a cult following, yeah. I just don't think it ever breaks in the mainstream because it always seems like it comes out in the same time period. We'll see. Continuing the list now, Just Deal With It's on PlayStation 4, Life of Pixels on PlayStation 4 and PS Vita, that smells like a good platinum too, Monica Ea Garda Dos Colijos is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, sorry everybody, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One and Switch, Mutant Year Zero Road to Eden is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC, Override Mech City Brawl is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight is on PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita, it lives, Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight is on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. It lives. Prison Boss VR is on PSVR. Subnautica is on PS4 and Xbox One. Thronebreaker The Witcher Tales is on PS4 and Xbox One. Toki is on Switch. Operation Wind Bastion, the fourth and last season of Year 3 of Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, including new operators and the new Fortress map, is now available for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And then, Women in Gaming, a book... Women in Gaming, 100% Professionals of Play by Megan Marie is out today as well. Here is the synopsis. Women in Gaming, 100 Professionals of Play is a celebration of women's accomplishments in the video game industry, ranging from high-level executives to programmers to pro gamers. This insightful and celebratory book highlights women who helped establish the industry, women who disrupt it, women who fight to diversify it, and young women who will someday lead it. Featuring household names and unsung heroes, each individual profile plays an important role in the gaming industry. A select few of the remarkable women included in this book are Ashley Birch, Emmy-winning writer and voice actress, Carol Shaw, early industry programmer, designer, and industry icon award recipient, Tracy Fullerton, designer and director of USC Game Innovation Lab. I'm picking and choosing. Any friends of the show? No.
Karen Kaplan, former vice president in marketing for Nintendo of America.
Gotcha.
She's great.
My wife is in the book, too. Geneviève Saint-Ange. That's right.
My friend Annette Gonzalez is in the book.
Jessica Chobot, Kezia McDonald. The list goes on.
There's tons of amazing women in this book. And it's I'm really excited to get it.
Yeah, when Jen got her copies at the house, I was paging through. I was like, man, this is so good. And then I put it on the desk. And then I took photos of it today. And there you go. It's out now. You can get it. From Prima, too. Probably one of the last things you'll ever buy from Prima. New dates for you. Oh, and here's an interesting one. New dates for you. Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove is on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC March 1st. And ladies and gentlemen, we have our first leak of the Kinda Funny Game Showcase. Now we're a real thing. Kevin, now we're a real show.
Not cool, bro.
It happens, though. This is the funny...
You tell me who did it.
Well, they did. I talked to them extensively about it this morning, right? And it's fun because now that we're on this side, like I'm making it happen, I understand like what it is, right? So Toe Jam and Earl, Back in the Groove, one of the new dates we're going to announce still on Saturday. Act surprise. And we have a different trailer and we have a cool intro for it and stuff like that. So March 1st, that's crazy. But I was incredibly confused this morning because I woke up, Andrea, and saw the PlayStation EU Twitter account being like Toe Jam and Earl blog post, and the release is getting announced this weekend. I was like, oh, did they mention us? And I clicked on it, and sure enough, second to last paragraph, and you can find out the release date at the Kinda Funny Game Showcase Saturday. I was like, hell yeah, nice job. And then I went to check the American PlayStation blog, that paragraph deleted, headline completely different. And I was like, Sid fucking Schumann, you're going to tell me you would do this to me?
Yeah, call him up.
You would attack me this way? And so I had already retweeted the PlayStation EU one, right? And somebody responded to me with the Reset Era link thread of the release date. And it made it look like a leak. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I click through and then it's like, oh no, they've officially published the trailer. I went into my email. There was an official press release. hit up the development team, the developers, right, who were super apologetic and sorry. What it is that they wanted to get the game up for pre-order on the PSN, right? And when you do that, you need to put in a release date. And so at like the 11th hour, it was noticed that like, oh, wait, to do this the way we have to do it for the rollout of the game, we're going to have to tell them the release date. And actually, if we're doing that, we have to push the trailer and we have to do the news and do the blast and everything else.
No, they don't.
Hey, man. Talking to you about what I'm told and what they were told. All right. How this all worked out.
They could just not tell anybody and then wait.
Hey, man.
And then if somebody discovers it, it's different. Right? Mm. Then that would be like a hey.
But you understand. They want to own the beat. They want to own their marketing beat.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed for you.
Oh, don't be. Please.
Okay.
There's 60 plus games in this thing. Like,
it's going to be so good.
There is a joke in the Kind of Funny Game Showcase where we're like, and here's a whole bunch of unseen. Well, it's just for the best friends. There's a whole bunch of people going to watch this. They're never going to see this. Hey, true. Watch this thing. And then we're like, but we know they might be leaked. We understand how this works. We knew this is going to happen. And I'll tell you right now, this won't be the last. This will last thing that gets screwed up before the showcase.
You got some days to go. 4 days.
You're telling me we're trying to release games at the showcase and they're not going to be popping on a ratings board or whatever. I know Reset Era and Gaff and everybody else is going to get this. It doesn't matter. We're still celebrating on Saturday. And I don't think any of the big stuff will get leaked.
Fingers crossed.
Go ahead and clip this out when everything goes down. Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. 23andMe is the first sponsor. And right now through December 25th, 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90 plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what make you unique. It is easy to do. You simply spit in a tube provided for you in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. I've already done it, Andrea. I'm very white. As I've said before,
I know,
52.5% British and Irish, 17.2 French and German, and then a whole bunch of other European stuff right there. That's why I do such a good accent. Oi, Governor! You can do it. Learn about yourself. Learn about your family. Meet other family members who share this. I got like second cousins and stuff apparently using this thing. It's crazy. Now through December 25th, you get 30% off your 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, 23andMe.com/games. Brooklinen is the next sponsor. You spend a third of your life in your sheets, and this holiday season is a great time for a bedding upgrade for you or a loved one. Everyone knows I love it. I use my Brooklinen sheets each and every day. Jen and I like them so much that when we wash the sheets, we don't put on the second, your backup set of sheets. Mm-hmm. We'll wait for those to get done and put them back on there. And then they're kind of warm, too.
Sounds like you need another pair.
Sure, but then they're warm. I just did the warm thing. They're cozy. You know what I mean? Portillo last night stole the Brooklinen comforter. I was very upset. I was very cold because what I did is I slept in the MeUndie pants. I got those pajama
pants.
Shirt. And I was like, I'll use the comforter. And then Portillo, of course, like a little rock, did it and just cut me off too much. But I sacrificed it because I love them.
Of course.
Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. So there's no middleman, meaning they can give you 5-star hotel quality sheets that are affordable and easy to order. You can mix and match online, find the perfect combination. It's great. Plus, they do towels, robes, candles, sleep masks, and more. That all make for great gifts. And like I always say, you're going to forget about the holidays, so just use this in order now. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and it's your chance to upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, towels, and everything else come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code GAMES. And finally, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs. I'm winking at the camera.
You did it right.
Yeah, I know. You correct me twice, and I'll remember one of them probably. And cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all your profits. It's easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Kevin, you're using it?
Yeah.
You liking it?
Yeah.
You like playing the ponies? Is that what they call the stock market?
No.
they do. Oh, that's horse racing. You like playing the stocks?
I got a notification saying that it was closed today because of or tomorrow for Bush's funeral.
Oh, really?
And that's a nice little thing to know.
That's a good one to tell you. Good job, Robin. You can learn how to invest and build your portfolio right now. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. Where do I want to start with you, Andrea Renee? Got two questions about the showcase, but I feel like that's a bad. I don't want to start with the navel gazing. You know what I mean? I like to end with that. Sure. Here, let's go with Nate. This almost made the Roper Report, but didn't. Nate writes in and says, "Hey, Greg and co-host, long time, first time." Angry Greg voice. "What the fuck, Ubisoft?" And angry Greg voice. "I just got an email from the Ubisoft Club that Ubisoft Club points are starting to expire in March 2019, and I'm pissed. I've been collecting club points since Assassin's Creed 2 and have amassed a nice stockpile that I look forward to using when a new Ubisoft game comes out. But now I'm being told that I'm going to lose a bunch without any explanation as to why. I don't understand why they can't just let me, a diehard Ubisoft fan, keep collecting my points. So what if I stockpile them? Anyway, I was hoping to hear your thoughts on this, as maybe I might be overreacting. Keep up the good work, Nate from Wisconsin."
This is alarming news.
That's bullshit.
Did you see this already?
No, so I'm pulling up the article from PC Gamer.
Go ahead.
Because I also have been stockpiling my points. I have spent some on each of the Assassin's Creed that I've played. I think I spent some in Rainbow last time I logged in. Basically, you get these free points just by playing the game and earning specific challenges.
There's challenges, right? And like they're basically like in Ubisoft achievements of do this certain amount of times, complete this story, you get these points, and then you can go in and for me, I always use them on Assassins as well. So I pop in and immediately like, oh, I want to buy this look for my crew. I want to buy this weapon for my assassin. You can get armor, so that's that way.
So in the write-up on PCGamer.com, it says Ubisoft hasn't given a clear reason for the change, though it's framed as a positive one in line with other changes in the loyalty scheme scope, like weekly challenges, new rewards, and Sam, the personal gaming assistant that I never knew existed. They talked about that at E3 earlier this year. The major difference, of course, is that all of these things were additions. This is a subtraction with no benefits to players. Quote, beginning April 1st, 2019, you have 24 months to redeem the club units. Oh, hold on. That's way different than them expiring in March. It says beginning April 1st, you have 24 months to redeem the club units you acquired through your gaming experience or by making eligible purchases on the Ubisoft store. Okay. After 24 months, these club units will expire and will automatically disappear from your Ubisoft account. Each time you redeem club units, the oldest club unit will be redeemed first. So essentially, it says Ubisoft will compare everyone's point balance on March 31st, 2017 with the number of points redeemed between that date and March 31st, 2019. If you've redeemed fewer points than you owned 24 months ago, the difference will vanish. So now everyone needs to do some bookkeeping. I'm confused. You can check the site to see how many points will expire. So I'm going to click this hyperlink.
So the idea here is that
you log in to see how many of my points are going to expire.
You earn a point and then 24 months later it'll expire, right?
Okay,
is that the thrust of this thing?
I think that's what it's trying to say.
It's got an expiration date on it.
Let me log into my account to see how many points I have that are going to expire.
Bullshit, guys.
Kevin, get up close and your mic and talk to me about it if you're fired up.
I'm loud enough for them to hear me.
I know, but I want you to be a little bit better. I love the use of malarkey. You sound like my grandfather. It's great.
Thank you. I have accumulated a lot of points because we play a lot of games.
Yeah.
I don't use them often, but when I pull them out for Assassin's Creed, a game I love, might be my game of the year. I don't know.
Yeah.
Still thinking about it. Might be Beat Saber.
Two great games.
I like using them. It's satisfying as hell. Sure. Going to the store and being like, oh, look at all these coins I got.
I hear you. I use them too, but I don't use... I hear you. I think the reason to not stockpile them is that they want you to use them. They want you to be engaging with this and using your Ubisoft points more.
Okay, so...
It's similar to when you're playing an RPG and you get all these potions. You're like, oh, I'm going to save these for the boss battle. Then you end the game, you got 289 potions.
Because you never used them, yeah. So my balance today is 625 units. Club units that will expire are 110 units, so...
Does it say that right there?
Yeah. And then it says your new balance on April 1st... will be 515 units. So I have to spend 110 units before April 1st. So this isn't as dire as you might think it is.
It's still annoying if you, because like here's the thing.
No, it's super annoying, but also this is a free program that costs you nothing, right? So I think they're just trying to say.
Taking it away now.
Right, but like, I think this is actually really good because it's going to incentivize people to log in and actually use their points.
But Assassin's Creed already incentivized me to incentivize.
No, I'm with you, Kevin. I also spent points redeeming things specifically for Odyssey as well. But
where
maybe
do I go to? Where do I go?
So it says here, it's welcome.club.ubisoft.com/en-gb/units There must be like a redirect on the main page, but I just clicked the hyperlink that was in the PC Gamer article.
Okay.
So you can also do the same if you were curious about this. PCGamer.com has that article up about the Ubisoft Club points.
Here's the long and short of it, everybody. Guess what? The Division's out before April, whatever. So you get in there, you spend them all in the Division, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to do it.
Ready for that?
We still are, Kevin. We still are supposed to get ready for it.
Okay.
Yeah, or, you know, we just talked about how the new expansion is launching for Rainbow Six. You can log in and spend some points there.
There's AC expansion
you know,
today.
You got Odyssey, DLC.
That's the thing. That's why they want you to get in there, right? They want you to do it. Yeah.
They're free. I mean, I get why this is maybe like a little annoying, but I'm just going to come back to it being like, hey, this is a free program. It doesn't cost you anything.
I understand being mad, but their whole they're just changing the thing to actually getting you to use them.
But they're giving you a warning. It's not like they're... It's
but it doesn't help you if... Hey, it doesn't help you if I only play Assassin's Creed. So like I'm looking for... Not next year, 2020, when the next Assassin's Creed drops, I was looking forward to having all 9,000 of my units come in.
Yeah.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
Well, you can... I'm looking here. I think you can use your club points to get a discount. Yeah, you can use your club points for 20% off for 100 points. What I'm going to lose, I can get a 20% discount in the Ubisoft store. That's pretty good.
Whatever.
For something that I just got in the background while I was enjoying my time playing a game.
Oh, here we go. This is what Kevin is. So, yeah, Kevin has 610 points. He's going to lose 40 units on March 31st.
Oh, only 40. Jealous.
You're fine, Kevin.
I'm going to lose 110.
I've been actively using him, though, really hard. Anything I can.
It'd be cool if they... Well, I guess you don't need any more, but if you... Don't worry about it. David writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Greg and Andrea.
Hello.
I had a question about the Game Awards. A few weeks ago, I got an email from PlayStation with a special offer on tickets to the show, and I jumped at the chance. This will be the first big event of any kind that I have attended, and now comes the question. What am I going to wear? Is this a business casual kind of deal? Can I show up in my Kind of Funny Games daily t-shirt, or will I stick out like a sore thumb and look like some dumbass who got lost? I know this isn't a game-specific question, but I figured I would ask it here. Any help on the matter would be greatly appreciated, and I hope to meet you both on Thursday."
This is an excellent question.
Oh, and real quick, too, I speak for you and me, of course. If you see us at the Game Awards on Thursday, come over and say hey.
Please do.
I like it when I built... Last year, the security got super mad because I made a giant line, and I was like, "See, Jeff Keighley, I should be presenting." And he said, "Shut up, Miller," and I was like, "I'm sorry, Jeff."
The Game Awards are one of the very few opportunities we have in this business to kind of dress up and celebrate everything that we love about the video games industry. So I would recommend that you err on the side of dressing nicer than less. Mm-hmm. Now, to be clear, I do see guys walking in t-shirts, but I always judge them. So if you're gonna wear your Kind of Funny t-shirt, do it with a blazer.
Ooh.
A suit jacket, a sport coat, have you.
Not here.
And then you wear a fly pair of sneakers, and then you're good to go. That's like the video game uniform.
Exactly. Yeah. But you're ready to present on stage there.
Right. But
Phil Spencer can be like, "Oh, my arm hurts. Can you come up and announce Crackdown 4? You're like, "Yeah."
I would encourage you, though, that if you have a nicer outfit, now is the time to bring it out.
I would say dress up.
How often do we get to dress up?
Never.
Like that?
You know what I mean? Usually we're just wearing Ghostbuster outfits and we're happy.
Yeah.
Game Awards is cool. And yeah, you can totally come in a t-shirt and there'll be tons of people in t-shirts. But if you dress up, people are going to immediately be like, "Oh, do you work in the industry? Like, are you a part of this thing?" Like, no.
Differentiate yourself from the peasantry and up your game a little bit. I believe in you.
Step your game up, PSP.
Yeah, we're going to be dressed up.
Hell yeah. What are you wearing? You got a good dress?
I got a dress.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it a good dress?
I almost wanted to bring a dress and then I realized I wore it at the Game Awards a couple years ago.
Is it a good dress?
Oh, it's a great dress.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's not quite as good as my one last year.
Yeah.
I really loved my outfit last year, but it's really cute. And it's got hot pink shoes that go with it. So
I'm just wearing the same old suit as always. Or one of the same old suits. I don't even know which one.
I mean, dudes can get away with that.
I know, it's not fair. Marvin writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, will the trailers shown in the showcase be posted on channels such as IGN, Game Trailers, etc., or are they solely exclusive to Kind of Funny? If so, what does the discussion with those media outlets look like? If anyone posts one of these trailers that's shown on Kind of Funny Games Daily, Kevin will come to their house and eat all their bread.
All of it.
No, everything's going to go everywhere. No, the rules I was going with Kind of Funny Games Showcase was you're giving us something new and something exclusive for the show. So the idea, knock on wood, again, everything's going to leak, I understand, would be that, yeah, you're seeing new trailers and new stuff, but as soon as the showcase is over, we've talked and talked about time-wise that everybody can just share that on their YouTube channels, put it out on to IGN, media blast everybody. Yeah, this is... The showcase isn't meant to... promote Kind of Funny. It's meant to promote these games. Like it's very much putting the developer and the game before us. You won't hear us on the showcase talking about our Patreon or, you know, encouraging you to use Amazon Prime for your Twitch Prime subscription. This is very much about giving our stage over to them and helping showcase these games. So I don't want to get in the way of anybody promoting their product or getting it out to the sites that are way bigger than us and matter. But it'll be nice to have a whole bunch of eyes on us and go that way. Fendi writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, this isn't a question, but I wanted to take a minute and reflect on how Kind of Funny has evolved and improved throughout 2018. And I can say that without a doubt, this has been Kind of Funny's best year by miles. With Tim graduating, in quotes, the Forbes 30 under 30 class of 2019, the team mastering the Kind of Funny formula to provide content from a diverse range of audience, or for a diverse range of audience members, and not to mention holding a press conference this Saturday as part of the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, parentheses, and showing 60 games, which is insane. For once, we would like to thank you for making 2018 so much kind of funnier and putting a smile on our faces every single day of the year. Fendi. Thank you, Fendi.
That's really nice of you.
That's a very sweet statement. And I think we've known we've been killing it this year. And that's not hubris talking. Like, we just know that, like, we've been making a lot of cool shows and a lot of people have been connecting with it. And it's awesome to talk to you and take all your feedback in. And every once in a while with the showcase, I get a glimpse that it's cool or it's special, but then I'm like lost back. I can't see the forest from the trees kind of thing. And like I remember one day where I showed you an asset and you were like, man, this is going to blow up. Are you guys excited? And I was like, oh, I guess it has. Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't have time to think about that as I do the show.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so like when we were filming the stuff on Saturday and then like Nick was watching it through the viewfinder to check it, you're like, oh yeah, that kind of looks cool. Like, I'm very interested to see when Tim has the final cut tomorrow evening, what it all looks like and how it's all shaped out. But thank you very much.
We believe in you, Tim.
We're very excited. Yeah. Everybody send Tim love on that there, Twitter at Tim Geddes. Don't do it on Instagram.
And your beard trimmings.
Don't send him. Send your beard trimmings to Tim too. Andrea, it's time to squad up. This is where, you got something?
After you squad up, I have a bad PSN name.
Oh, okay. This is where somebody writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with their name, username, platform of choice, and why they need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Alex Irish needs help on the Wii U. He's giving us his Twitter and Facebook, which is Alex_IRESQ. Tis time to squad up. I need an in real life help on Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U. I need a co-op partner who's fairly good at Smash to help me unlock a bunch of challenges so I'm all caught up and ready for Smash Ultimate this week. Plus, hey, co-op Smash can be lots of fun. If you're in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, my Twitter and Facebook DMs are available to hit me up with. Thanks.
Nice.
Those were some beautiful lower thirds there.
Made them myself.
They're really nice.
Thank you.
Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
As you know, Shuhei Yoshida hated us for years and years and years, and he would not let us change our PSN names, no matter how much we begged him. But apparently, much like the snow melts in a young February day, Shuhei Yoshida's heart of stone has softened, and he will soon let us all change our PSN names. As such, we are saying goodbye to bad PSN names. What do you got for me today?
Today, I keep posting my bad PSN name story I've been sending since the Beyond days. Time running out for my tale to be told. Please read mine. And with that, here goes. Hi, Greg and Andrew. Here's my bad PSN name story. Let me take you back to the days of yore. Back to early PS3 times when I was excited to sign up as a longtime fan for Model 1 OG PlayStation.
Dang.
But once I got to what name do you want bit, that's where the trouble started. Because it wouldn't let me use the name I was wanting because it was too close to my email at the time, so I decided to make one on the spot that was made from the martial art I studied, Kuksul Won. I bet you I did not say that right. And the name I was known by in the Edinburgh metal scene, Dances with Trousers. So DWTKSW was born.
Terrible.
But only so I could come back later with a new email and fix it. Only then did I learn the awful truth that I was now stuck with DWTKSW. And what's more, nobody could say my name in the heat of battle. So yes, I will be changing my name. Beyond.
Beyond! Terrible name. A terrible, terrible name. I'm glad.
DWTKSW. It's even hard to say.
Even when we know what's wrong and we're trying to fix it, it's bad. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to keep us honest and go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
What did we screw up today, Greg?
Dane chimes in, says that, I think you mentioned this, but we didn't put it anywhere. There's a new Tony Hawk mobile skateboarding.
Yeah, that announcement broke right before the show. Gotcha. We, I think, just forgot to put it in to new dates.
Gotcha. DJ Kenta says there's almost no exclusivity for PC gaming on Steam. Indies especially use a shotgun approach. Chicks_18 said, Andrea mentioned that she wondered if Epic would curate their store. As per the Game Informer interview, Epic plans to hand curate its store, which might entice both developers and consumers away from competitors, especially with many expressing frustrations about the poor visibility for software in a crowded marketplace.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Kebabs pops in and says, it's worth noting that the two new Persona dancing games today support PlayStation VR. Good call.
Oh, interesting.
Ben from Bangor says, Greg, you forgot that out today is the new Hearthstone expansion, Rastakhan's Rumble. So there you
that's
go.
That's weird. I didn't get a press release
dorks.
For that.
Aramo says, seems like in Canada, the rules for Ubisoft points are a little bit different. This is a quote. Beginning April 1st, 2019, any new club units you acquire will expire 2 years after the acquisition of the last day of each month. Don't worry. Club units acquired prior to April 1st, 2019 will not expire pursuant to this new rule.
Oh, interesting.
Everybody take your points, invest them in Canada. That's
what
you gotta do.
Wouldn't they just do that everywhere?
Canada's different like that. You can't take away something you give.
And that's all I'm going to admit that we were wrong about today.
Okay.
All right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday. On a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. And of course, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you like what we've been doing this entire year and our entire lives, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So much cool stuff coming. If you thought 2018 was something, wait till you see 2019. Hey, Kevin, you excited about that finishing the showcase and then doing a giant stream in January to celebrate our anniversary and like change everything?
No,
okay,
I'm
that's going to be fun.
Tired.
Tomorrow, it'll be me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, Tim and Jared Petty. Friday, Tim Geddes and Andre Seegers from Game Explained to celebrate the launch of Smash Brothers on that Nintendo Switch.
He's great.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.